Good morning. It's a privilege to be here this morning to bring out your word. I'd like to start off with Galatians 1, 3 to 5. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. What a glorious day we could start today. Sun shining, temperatures a little bit cooler, which we all enjoy. And we get to come here and worship the Lord freely. My name is Reverend James Stace, and with the Lord's leading, I'd like to bring a message this morning, what he has given me to speak on. A thought this morning. Which door did we come in? Did we come in the back door or the side door? Or did we come in the front door? Or how does it feel when we come somewhere and the door is locked? Do we frantically try to get in? In Matthew 25, verse 10, and while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they were ready to go in, ready. They that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Are we ready for that bridegroom to come when he comes? Or will the door be shut? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning to worship your holy name. We come to give you all the honor and praise that you gave us all the plan of salvation, that we have that desire to follow you, that we would believe and confess our sins, that we can have eternal life. We thank you, Jesus, for loving us, for dying on the cross, for raising and sitting beside the Father, preparing a place for us. We pray for the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us in word and in song. And we also want to pray for the congregation that their hearts may be open to the Lord's leading. And I also want to pray for the Sunday school, both the teachers and the children. I pray for the song leaders, the pianists, that our voices might come from the heart in song. I'd also like to pray for the sick and the lonely that are not here, that would like to be, but that you would comfort them. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. And now we'll have two congregational songs.
Take a red book and turn to number 361. 361.
Take time to be holy, speak off with thy Lord. Abide in him always and feed on his word. Make friends of God's children, help those who are weak. Forgetting yet nothing, his blessings to seek. Take time to be holy. The world rushes on. Much time spent in secret with Jesus alone. By looking to Jesus, like him thou shalt be. Thy friends and thy conduct, his likeness shall see. Take time to be holy, let him be thy guide. And draw not before him, whatever betide. In joy or in sorrow, still follow thy Lord. In looking to Jesus, still trust in his word. Take time to be holy, be calm in thy soul. Each thought and each motive be need his control. Thus led by his Spirit to fountains of love that soon shall be fitted for service above.
353. What a friend we have in Jesus. 353.
What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Heavy trials and temptations, is there trouble anywhere? We shall never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful, who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge, take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise, forsake thee? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield thee. Thou wilt find a solace there.
Thank you for that singing and the songs. I'd like to start off with John chapter 10. John chapter 10, verses 1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way. The same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of a stranger. So this parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. A couple of years ago, we were at a friend's place and in the village, and they had sheep. They weren't his sheep, they were somebody else's sheep. But the sheep had learned his voice. They were out in the field and he called them, and it was just a few words that he called. The sheep came running because the shepherd, they knew the shepherd's voice. Do we know the shepherd's voice? In verse 1, it talks about the thieves and robbers attempt to enter into the sheepfold by climbing over the wall. Original sheepfold normally consisted of four walls of stone with one door and no roof. The fold refers to Israel, and the thieves and the robbers refer to the Jewish leaders who are trying to lead Israel while avoiding the door. Are we avoiding the door? The door is Jesus Christ. The true leader enters in by the door, and the only shepherd of the sheep. A true shepherd has a unique relationship with his sheep. He calls them by name, he leadeth them, he putteth them forth, and goeth before them. The sheep respond by hearing his voice and knowing his voice and following him. A stranger they will not follow. Their reaction to the stranger is totally opposite to that of a shepherd. They flee. Do we flee from sin? Do we flee the other way? They are not acquainted with the voice of a stranger. They do not comprehend. The Pharisees did not comprehend this parable of the shepherd and the sheep. They did not get it. If we keep reading in verse 7, then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever come before me are thieves and robbers. But the sheep do not hear them. He tells them again, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. A thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. A stranger they will not follow. Their reaction to a stranger is totally opposite. And Jesus explains this again with the same statement that he began with. His parable, I am the door. Entrance into the fold is by him and him alone. The one who came before were the scribes and the Pharisees who attempted to enter the fold other than through the door. Again, Jesus emphasizes that he is the door. in verse 9 and 10. If any man enter in, he shall be saved. They might have life or salvation more abundantly. And also the person will find pasture, referring to abundant life. As constant nourishment and necessary to maintain life. The scribes and Pharisees are there to steal and to kill and to destroy. And Christ gives us life and salvation. He gives it abundantly. He doesn't cut off the life-giving water. He keeps giving it to us. In verse 11, it says, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for his sheep. But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is a hireling and careth not for the sheep. Besides being the only door into the sheepfold, Christ is also the good shepherd. He is good because he gives his life. He gave his life for us, for the benefit of us. In Isaiah 40, verse 11, Isaiah 40, verse 11, we read what he does for us. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd, and he shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. So he comforts us. He gives us everything. In Psalms 23, it's a popular passage. Psalms 23, it says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. And he restoreth my soul, and he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That sounds so good. In verses 12 to 13, it says the scribes were merely hirelings. They are hired people. Today, in today's age, we see that so much. If we are just a hireling for a company, are we concerned what happens to the company? Are we concerned for our fellow man? Or are we just for self, me, myself, and I? What are we concerned with? Are we concerned with somebody else's soul? Or are we going to keep that true love to ourselves, that we cannot bring it to others? Are we afraid? Or do we just run away? Verse 14, it says, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I'm known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for my sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. The Pharisees, they are strangers, but Christ knows his sheep. The Pharisees have no love for the sheep, but Christ gives his life for them. Christ has a relationship to his sheep, similar to the relationship with his Father. Christ now states that his fold will include both Jews and Gentiles. It's for everybody. Verse 17, it says, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. This commandment have I received of my Father. The Lord further emphasizes that his statement, saying that he will lay down his life, his life in a voluntary act of sacrifice. I lay it down myself, and he has that power to do it. So there was a division among the Jews, and many of them said, he hath a devil and is mad. Why hear ye him? Others say, these are not the words of him that hath a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? If we read the chapter before, you see how Jesus, how Jesus went and he gave sight to the blind man. But they did not want to believe that Jesus could do this. And this man was on an age, he was not a young boy, but they did not want to believe what he could do. And they asked him three times, and he said, well, he's at age, you can just ask him. So they were still occupied with that. The scribes and the Pharisees. The Jews were divided in their opinion. Some thought he was mad and demon-possessed, while others were impressed by his miracle on behalf of the blind man. We need to stay on truth and do his will. Being prepared in everything we do. Matthew 25, I started over verse 10 before, but I want to read the first 13 verses. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto the 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And five of them were wise, and five were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for your lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. After came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch, therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. The danger of being unprepared. In this parable of the 10 virgins, Jesus tells the story of the 5 wise and the 5 foolish virgins. When the bridegroom arrived, the foolish ones realized their lamps were going out because they lacked extra oil. Spiritually speaking, you cannot borrow someone else's faith, prayer life, or a relationship with God. When a crisis hits, being spiritually unprepared leaves us stranded in the dark. Preparation happens in the hidden moments of life. We often pray to God to open doors or bring change, but we forget to prepare for it. The true work of preparation isn't glamorous. It happens in the unseen, quiet moments of life. Just as David prepared for his slingshot in the wilderness before facing Goliath. We prepare for future callings through our daily faithfulness in small things. Our preparation is maybe will help someone else in their situation. Our personal growth are rarely just for us. God uses our trials and the discipline of preparation to build strength, resilience, and wisdom. When we prepare faithfully, we develop character, because the exact solution or source of hope may be for someone else's need in the future. Daily readiness. One famous writer years ago said, by failing to prepare, you are preparing to fail. We are all called to stay spiritually alert and ready for God's work every single day. This means that prioritizing our daily devotions, nurturing our faith before the storm arrives, embracing life's season, trusting that God is using current circumstances to shape our future, acting in faith, living like you expect God to move and do. Be Christ-like. We are called to action. God is a God of preparation. And his children, we are called to prepare for the things he has placed ahead of time. Ask yourselves today, am I merely praying for change, or am I preparing for it? Let us choose to do our best today, fortifying our faith so we are ready when the Lord calls us to act. So what are some of the benefits of preparation when we read it in the Bible? Are there benefits to it? We go to 2 Chronicles 27. 2 Chronicles 27. Jotham was 25 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Jerusha, the daughter of Zodak, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Uzziah had did. Howbeit, he entered not into the temple of the Lord, and the people did yet corruptibly. He built the high gate of the house of the Lord, and on the wall of Ophrah he built much. Moreover, he built cities in the mountains of Judah, and in the forest he built castles and towers. And he fought also with the king of the Amorites and prevailed against them. And the children of Ammon gave him the same year 100 talents of silver, 10,000 measures of wheat, and 10,000 of barley. So much did the children of Ammon pay unto him, both the second and third year. So Jothan became mighty because he prepared his way before the Lord his God. So Jothan became mighty because he prepared his ways before the Lord his God. So when do we prepare ourselves? The day before communion or the week before? Do we prepare all year long? Or do we make right with others? Most important question is, do we make it right with God and plead for his forgiveness? How do we do this? Isaiah 1 verse 18. Isaiah 1 verse 18. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. The Bible commands us to forgive others when they have wronged us, to seek forgiveness when we have wronged others. When we do this, we follow the example of God, who extends to us the ultimate forgiveness, pardon of our sins. Forgiveness is the pathway to freedom. When God forgives us, we are freed from guilt and restored to fellowship with him. When we forgive someone who has wronged us, we are freed from the bitterness and resentment that poisons the soul. And when we have been forgiven by others, the burden of sin, of our sin, is gone. Receiving God's forgiveness and forgiving others are at the core of what being a fellow follower of Jesus Christ means. It's not just about us. Colossians 1, 21 verse, and 22. Colossians 1, verse 21. And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath the reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. And ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, wherefore I, Paul, am a minister, who now rejoice in my suffering for you, and fill up that which is behind in afflictions of Christ in my flesh, for the body's sake, which is the church. Being forgiven by God means that he looks at us as though we have never sinned before. When we receive his forgiveness by faith through trusting in Christ, we are blameless in his sight. When God forgives, he doesn't merely hide our sins. He completely washes them away. We as humans, sometimes we say we forgive you, but when times get tough and we are backed into a corner, that sometimes wants to come back out. We want to bring that back forth. We want to throw that back into their face. But we have to step back and say, I forgave him. How can I throw that back into his face? Did we actually forgive him? In Acts 8, 22 and 23, it says clearly, repent therefore of this thy wickedness and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. We sometimes forgiveness of our mind, but we don't forgive from our heart. We need to forgive from our heart. Sin traps us in bitterness. Evil addictions and a condemning guilt that tells us we can never change. Forgiveness and repentance provide the opportunity for a fresh start, and that our sins do not need to define and control us. We need to do that 180. Go the other way. Flee from sin. Peter tells us in Acts 2, verse 38, how to do it, what we're supposed to do. Acts 2, verse 38, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall be received the gift of the Holy Ghost. Being forgiven of our sin by God allows us to receive the gift of God's Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit helps us battle temptations and guides us through life. When I was talking about the mouth or the mind and the heart, in Romans 10, 9 and 10, he tells us how we can get rid of it, how we can get rid of the sins. Romans 10, 9 and 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart, in the heart, that God hath raised him up from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. We will go out and bring out his word. We will have joy in doing so. God's forgiveness is the only way we can have that assurance of eternal life. So what does happen when we forgive someone? Does our burden get lighter? Colossians 3, verse 12 to 15. Colossians 3, 12 to 15. Put on, therefore, as elect of God, holy, beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. So let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and in hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do also in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Forbearing one another. Humbleness. Are those words in our vocabulary? But humbleness, how do you get humbleness and pride? But sometimes we have pride. We don't want to be humble. That pride sometimes is right up there with, and it's hard to forbear somebody else. Because we are better than the next person. Are we? Are we better than the next person? Christ never put himself on a pedestal. Why should we put ourselves on a pedestal? Christ forgave us. Why can we not forgive others? But we need to have Christ rule in our heart. Then we'll have music coming out of us that he will be pleased with. Because it's for others, for it's for him. It's not for others how we worship him. So how should we prepare for the coming of Jesus Christ? In Matthew 3, verse 2. Matthew 3, verse 2, it says, and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's here. We need to prepare. First Peter 1, verse 13, so therefore gird up the loins of your mind, be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts of your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all matter of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. We need to prepare for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Committing our life to God's commandments, and by growing closer in a relationship with God, believers in Jesus Christ, we have two expectations in life. One is anticipating the coming, that day when Jesus comes. And the other is what if we die before he comes. So there's two expectations. We practice dual expectations. But we need to grow in holiness and be ready for his return. Because if we are ready for his return, we will be in Matthew 24, verse 32. Matthew 24, verse 32. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from his goats. And he shall set the sheep on the right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you and from the foundation of the world. So let us be sheep. Be on the right hand of Jesus Christ. Because we do not know when he's coming. But let us learn from the scripture and watch for the signs of Christ's returning. So let's be ready at all times. So at this time, those who are able, let us kneel in a silent word of prayer. In Jesus' name we pray with thanksgiving. Amen. At this time, we'll have another congregational song.
Take our blue book and turn to number 144, Only Trust Him. Let's all stand. 144.
Come every soul by sin oppressed, there's mercy with the Lord, and he will surely give you rest by trusting in his word. Only trust him, only trust him, only trust him now. He will save you, he will save you, he will save you now. For Jesus shed his precious blood, rich blessings to bestow. Plunge now into the crimson flood that washes white as snow. Only trust him, only trust him, only trust him now. He will save you, he will save you, he will save you now. Yes, Jesus is the truth, the way that leads you into rest. Believe in him without delay, and trust him, only trust him, only trust him now. He will save you, he will save you, he will save you now. Come then, enjoy this holy land in all. trust him, only trust him, only trust him now. He will save you, he will save you, he will save you now.
Thank you for that song, singing, playing. Matthew 6, verse 19 to 21. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where treasure is, there your heart will be also. A few weeks ago, my wife gave me a stack of papers to go through to see what I wanted to throw away. And the first paper was from 2010. So this is quite the stack. Lots of minutes from church. So I'm going through there, and all of a sudden there's a letter that caught my attention. So this is how that letter went. They that worship me. Something was wrong. Sundays used to be full of joy. It was the best. Now they left me exhausted, and my soul sought food and rest, but instead wandered dry in dry places, cold, hungry, and all alone. I took my pew without fail. On time, I taught the primary class, sang, listened to the sermon, prayed, and stayed and visited, but went away like a broken bird, without a song. I said, Lord, what is wrong? I cried. Is the church, the people, the pasture, or is it me, or is it I? No answer came until I fell asleep and I dreamed a dream. Then the door. In the dream, I stood before a door of a little country church, waiting, thinking, should I enter or should I not? Is it worth it? Will I be fed? Then the door opened, and I thought it was the usher who beckoned me to come. I turned, and behold, it was the Lord Jesus. Oh, you mean you are here? I cried. Yes, I am, he answered, and I know your thoughts. I feel your pain. He sighed and searched me with loving eyes. But Lord, I want to worship you. I really do. I want to grow. I want to know that you and my soul are having communion. But what is wrong with me? I'll show you, was his simple reply. He took my hand and led me to the balcony. It seemed no one else was there. I'll show you how I see you worship, he said. As I watched the song leaders open the worship service, I searched the place where I usually sat. Fifth pew near the center aisle, it was vacant. But Lord, I'm always on time, I said. Your heart is still at home. Cumbered with much serving, he replied. By the middle of the second song, I saw myself arrive, slid into place, opened the book, and began to sing. But strangely, not a sound was heard. I know my voice carried well and looked in questioning amazement to the Lord. I hear the heart sing, he says. It was time for Sunday school. I watched myself walk distractedly in the opposite direction of my class. I held a news bulletin in one hand, and the other hand, was that my Bible? No. It looked more like a magazine. But I always took my Bible to Sunday school. There must be some terrible mistake. The Lord sensed my questions. My child, that's what you fed on last week, was his simple explanation. The church service began. A certain one who just isn't my type sat down beside me. Immediately I saw myself give her a disgusted look, jumped up and moved two pews ahead. Horrified, I looked at the Lord and said, I would never, ever do anything like that. Not in person, of course, but I'll show you how I see you worship, he replied. I weigh the spirit. Some couple, prominent business people from town, was ushered in. Oh no, I heard myself say out loud. I sure hope John doesn't preach today. And will they know we kneel for prayer? And look how that lady is dressed. This is a church, after all, even if we are a little backwards. As I listened to myself, I covered my face in shame. The thoughts were familiar, but I never, ever have been spoken by me. The Lord looked at me. I hear the thoughts too, he solemnly said. Sure enough, John preached. As in my dream, I slid down in the bench so only my head appeared above the back. As the sermon progressed, so did my rumbling thoughts, all audible to me in clear, loud voice. I even walked out a few times, counted the money in my purse, checked the cookbook, read the story in my magazine. I talked about how nice my new dress looked. It was just my color. How my children were performing in school, and how long the sermon was getting, and how glad there wasn't opportunity for testimonies in the morning. So you know who could get up as he always does. The Lord leaned forward, listening intently. That's exactly it, he exclaimed. What, I questioned. The message. That's the one I gave him to preach right from heaven. I warmed his heart, touched his spirit, and by the way, you should have heard the unspoken testimony of praise from you know who. His love for me is true. Oh, child, this service has food for you. And I hadn't heard a word. Then a baby cried, and I watched in disbelief as I jumped up from the pew, marched straight back, and tried back to the tired young mother, shook my finger at her, and shouted, "You're disturbing us. And by the way, I made my children were carried out at the first squeak." The Lord tapped my shoulder. That young mother had a difficult week, he said. Often she cried to me for grace, for wisdom to keep that little one in his place. I want to give her a special blessing today. Again, I hung my head. A special song was sung before the closing prayer. An unusual group it was. I watched myself turn to my bystander and snickered. Prepare for the worst, I said. They sang one other time. I mean, they tried to. This group began to sing. Melody clear, lovely, pure, almost unearthly. Enveloped me, moved me with its honesty. The Lord closed his eyes and listened with a visible pleasure. Their hearts are singing, he said. During the closing prayer, I remained steadfastly in my pew. Others were holding vials of sweet perfume that lofted up to us. I clenched an open cup with no aroma. The prayers of saints are so sweet to me when offered from a loving heart. The Lord said as if to himself. Then I saw myself looking for my group, 15-year-olds, yet not converted, stood before me crying. A 15-year-old stood before me crying. I pushed her aside. Another woman touched my arm. I ignored her. An old man reached out his hand to bid me God's blessing. Without recognition, I walked the other way. Oh no, my Lord, I cried. That cannot be me. My child, he replied, it is. There's so much good to do. My precious lambs and sheep need each other, others' touch, and help to guard against the wolves, not against other fellow believers. I had seen and heard enough. Weeping, I crumbled into the arms of my Savior. I'm so sorry, Lord, so sorry. It was my problem. I see it now. My heart was far away from you. My spirit was defiled. I didn't love the truth. Your word, your church. I worshiped me. Oh, my precious child, the Lord replied as he gathered me in his bosom. They that worship me must worship me in spirit and in truth. Then I awoke trembling in my knee, trembling. I knelt and poured out my soul to my Savior. He forgave my erring ways. He poured his love into my heart. He gave me the song to sing, and he gave me his testimony to share. For his hurting arms became my deepest concern. His children became my precious brothers and sisters. His church became my haven. And most glorious of all, my Lord and my God became the foremost part of my worship. I've been there, done that, but he forgives. We thank him for that. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come to the close of this worship service with thanksgiving that you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, for our salvation. We thank you that we could come today and sing praises unto you from the heart, that we could read your word freely, we thank you that we could pray to you, that you hear us, our prayers. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You want this now? We have a few members or people that want to be accepted into the church. Henry and Marge Redicup. Marge, could you stand? Thank you. Henry has been accepted already in the church. He's in the care home. But they are Henry and Marge Redicup, address 140 3rd Street South, Winkler. And they have both been visited by Pastor Abe Fair and Deacon Jake Bickard, who recommend their acceptance. If anyone has a valid reason to oppose this request for membership, then please contact the local ministerial. Thank you. Another one is Tina Bergen. Could you stand? Thank you. Tina Bergen is 86 Cambridge Crescent, Winkler. She has applied for membership of the Sunfield Mennonite Church, and she has been visited by Pastor Abe Fair and Deacon Jake Bickard, who have recommended her acceptance. If anyone has a valid reason to oppose this request for membership, then please contact the local ministerial. Another application is Betty Wall. Thank you. Betty Wall, address 133 2nd Street, Winkler. She has applied for membership in this Sommerfeld Mennonite Church, and she has been visited by Pastor Abe Fair and Deacon Jake Bickard, who have recommended her acceptance. If anyone has a valid reason to oppose this request for membership, then please contact the local ministerial. Thank you. And at this time, we do not just have to pray here or at home. We can pray at home day and night. And let us also keep these people in our prayer. And so let us all kneel in a silent word of prayer. In Jesus' name we pray with thanksgiving. Amen.
Take the blue book and turn to number 333. Yield not to temptation. Yield not to temptation. For healing yourself, each victory will help you some other to win. Fight manfully onward, dark passions subdue. Look ever to Jesus, he will carry you through. The Savior to help you, comfort, strengthen, and keep you. He is willing to aid you, he will carry you through. Shun evil compassions, bad language, disdain. God's name hold in reverence, nor
the Savior to help you. Come for strengthen and keep you. He is willing to aid you. He will carry you through. To him that o'ercometh, God giveth a crown. Through faith he shall conquer, oh, often cast down. He who is our Savior, our strength will renew. Look ever to Jesus. He will carry you through. Ask the Savior to help you. Comfort, strengthen, and keep you. He is willing to aid you. He will carry you through.
Good morning. Thank you, Brother James, for bringing us the message this morning. Also, thank you for the pianists and song leaders again for leading us in singing this morning. Just a couple of short announcements. As you can read in the bulletin, there's an update on Maverick's journey. He's been struggling for quite some time, and there's an update here. Maverick's surgery went well. Praise the Lord. Please pray for good recovery. And the surgery was held on July 22nd. Thank you. Thank you all for your unwavering support and prayers. Also, please pray for all the children in the hospital. So let's keep them in our prayers over the week. And then there's also a thank you in that message from John and Betty Dick. This is not in your bulletin, but it was just handed to us. John and Betty Dick and family would like to thank everyone for the prayers and visitations that we received. John is now in Boundary Trails Hospital and is getting stronger every day. And that is a message from John and Betty, and a thank you from them. And thank you for all coming this morning and being part of the worship service this morning. And I pray that you guys will all have a blessed Sunday. Thank you.
Thank you for those announcements, Brother Henry. And thank you for all coming this morning and for your prayers. I'd like to close off with a benediction we find in Jude 24 and 25. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory, with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. You may go in the peace of the Lord.